I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The pass is going to be caught by Antonio Brown again inside the Baltimore 35. He's down to the 30, and he beat Brandon Carr again.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
With eye backs, turns, hands to Fournette, and he's in. Touchdown Jacksonville from a yard out. And Jacksonville suddenly has scored two big touchdowns.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Torn ACL. Torn ACL, it appears, yes.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
It is 12:02 in the Rose City. It is time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague with you on this Monday afternoon alongside Alex Crawford, who's filling in for one Jason Swigart, who's not back till Wednesday. What's up, Crawford?
Hey, it's the old Beaver Show.
No, not quite. There's actually only one little beaver thing we'll mention today on today's show.
I know, just that, I don't know, trying to think of a cool name for us too. You know, whenever there's like a remix show, there's always cool names.
You could have said, hey, it's Crawford and Sprague.
Yeah, that's basic. Like, when I remember one time Dirt filled in for Dusty and it was like Dirt and the Dog because it was Dirt and Cam.
I like that. That's actually a really good name.
So what's, I mean, something for us?
I don't know. I can't think of one top of my head. Something involving you being a millennial hipster.
You're not that much older than me.
Yeah, but I am.
Okay.
Older than you.
You are.
You know what's funny about that is you're sitting in for Jason Swigart today. Sometimes I like to peer behind the curtain for people to just get a glimpse of what we deal with or what we see and experience. So let me give you a glimpse of what we dealt with. So Thursday, Swigart comes up to me and goes, hey, I'm going to be out on Monday and then Tuesday. I got to use some vacation days. I said, oh, you know what? All right, that's fine. Whatever. No big deal. I said, who's filling in for me or filling in for you? And he goes, it's going to be a mixed Monday of Crawford and Will and then Joe Fish on Tuesday. I said, sounds great, man. Thank you. Didn't think of anything of it. Got an email yesterday from Swag attaching you, Will, and our boss and myself saying, hey, here's the rundowns, what you need to do. Will's going to fill in and leave and give you a moment to leave Crawford because you've been here so long, and Will will come in midway through the show. Will responds to the email, I can't, I'm working, this was never discussed. Basically like, yeah, we didn't talk about this.
It's all good, I got my cot in here.
You're just filling in the blanks here?
I got
here?
A jar of peanut butter, bunch of crackers.
Like, don't mind me, I'm just hosting a show, and the regular producer doesn't have anything booked, and I have no idea.
Plug and play.
Who I'm working with. Yeah, it's a plug and play scenario.
It's a mixed bag.
I'm okay.
Sprague and Cross.
It's okay, buddy. I'm good to have, it's nice to have you in.
Two beavers, one mic.
There's actually two microphones here.
I know. I was doing a play off that other show.
Yeah.
That other movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Let's not play
off that. We'll think of something.
Hey, how about the weekend, though? It was a good sports weekend. Good weekend to get out. It's been really nice, but it's just freezing cold outside. And because of how cold it is, I get in. And on Saturday, I turn the TV on, getting some stuff done around the house. And what do I see? Nice little snow game, Army-Navy. I don't know who else watched that. Their ratings for that game have been going up and up the last few years.
It was the only game. It was like the only game on Saturday.
Well, and I like that. I like that it's a standalone game. The NFL is going to have that this coming Saturday when they show a game of theirs. But I watched the whole Army-Navy game. I was getting stuff done. I'd stop, and I watched huge chunks of it. Fantastic. And then you had that followed up yesterday with Colts-Bills. Dare I say this? Snow football, I need more in my life. I need more 3 feet of snow on the ground. Teams can't do anything. Like, that Buffalo and Indy game was ugly. Nobody did anything offensively. If you bet the under, you knew right away you were going to win that. Guys were slipping everywhere. You couldn't tell what field marker they were on, where they were at. It was great. I loved it. I loved seeing them dive around in the snow, just mounds of it. And in the Army-Navy game, it wasn't quite as bad as the Buffalo one. But watching Army-Navy, what that just means, the two academies, the fans, everything involved there, and then to watch them go out there, and I think they attempted 5 passes total the whole game, 5, and to go out there and run the offense that they run, I thought it was great. To me, that's can't-miss TV for football. You can give me great games, and we got a few of those yesterday, and we'll talk about those today on the show. But if you're going to give me a crappy game, at least give me a crappy game in 4 feet of snow, which is something we got in the Buffalo Indy game.
Yeah, it looks cool. It looks cooler, even though that was a terrible football game. You know?
I thought you had more there.
Oh, I was waiting. But I was waiting for your reaction. It was a terrible football game.
Oh, yeah, it was. It wasn't a good football
game. And imagine sitting in the stands that whole time. That'd be miserable.
Well, I can't remember who said it for the Bills, but they're so right. Like, the Bills fans, they've got to be the most loyal fans, right? To endure that weather and sign up to see a game that you half the time couldn't see because of how bad it was snowing, you're another level of crazy, passionate fan.
Oh, yeah, I would have left.
Oh, I probably wouldn't have showed up. I would have just...
Yeah, that's a good point. I wouldn't have showed up.
Yeah. I would have opened my window, seen the snow, and like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to watch this on TV.
I want to go to a game and be in the Bills Mafia.
So I got destroyed last year by Bills Mafia because I didn't think they were very good, and they weren't. And this year, I flipped my tune a little bit when they started off really well with McDermott. Then they had the weird Nathan Peterman, Tyrod Taylor debacle go on. They lost that game. And, like, I know they got the W. They're kind of still in it a little bit, but for the most part, you don't really think the Bills are going to do much. I'm with you. I think Buffalo, New York, never thought I'd say this, is turned into kind of a destination for me. Let me ask you this question. You go to a Bills game next year. Is it, like, mandatory that you have to slam yourself through a table?
I'll get very drunk. I think also with the temperatures and stuff, it's necessary to have a liquid blanket, so to speak.
You would do that?
What? I'm not going to smash myself through a table, but I'm going to get drunk.
See, I feel like knowing you and having been drunk with you...
If there's an environment where tables are being smashed, I may be persuaded.
Yes, I think you are the kind of person that...
Win in Rome.
Yes, you absolutely... I myself have a bad back. Like, I play around the golf. I usually have to see a chiropractor, which is why I don't golf as much. I get sore playing a couple hours of basketball. You know, just the older you get,
you are old.
Breaks down. And I am one that fully admits if I went to Buffalo and I started consuming drinks, I think I would find myself in a position of some guy named Spike putting me over his head and somehow kind of throwing me onto the top of a table.
I'll tell you what, man. Bill's Mafia rules deep. Because I have a Buffalo Bills Marshawn Lynch jersey, because I'm a big Marshawn Lynch fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore it last summer to Brewfest, you know, downtown, Portland Brewers Festival or whatever,
yeah,
Oregon Brewfest.
Absolutely.
4 or 5 different guys came up to me and started saying, like, insider Bills things to me and kind of singing songs that they sing at the game and, like, pointing at me and expecting me to know. And luckily they were drunk enough where I could fool them. And they were like, I'll see you at the Cheerful Bullpen. Because that's a big Bills bar.
Yeah.
Like, see you at the Cheerful Bullpen this fall, bro. 4 or 5 different guys in like 2 hours.
It's
They roll deep, man.
They do roll deep. They're very passionate. Some of them are very angry. And they will let you know if they think you're an absolute moron. But that's what I love about this city, Crawford. That is really what I love. Like, you could give me Philly, Boston, Dallas... Give me said big NFL market, and those fans are probably fantastic to experience both in a good and bad way. You give me Portland, and you're giving me just a huge mix, right? Where you mentioned Buffalo, how diehard they are. You get Seahawk fan, 49er fan, Packer contingent, Bronco fan is heavy here. That's what I love about the market. We have a big mix of diehard fans, and they're loyal as hell when they live here. They'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We got a good show today. No Dirt. Dirt is going to be out until Friday. He is all the way in Charlotte, North Carolina. I didn't get to this on Friday on last week's show, but he downplayed something that he doesn't think is as big a deal as it really is. So he goes to the East Coast once a year to visit his brother who lives in Charlotte. It's usually him and his dad, or maybe it's his dad and mom. They go over there for the holidays, visit his niece, his nephew, sister-in-law, brother. It's a big family trip. Guess who he took with him for the first time this year?
Yep. Took his girlfriend.
He took his girlfriend.
Dude, that's a big deal.
That's exactly what I said.
That is a big deal.
He tried to downplay it.
That's checking some off the list. You don't take your girlfriend unless you plan on being together long term. You don't take the girl you're going to break up with within the next couple months.
Pretty clear indication of how serious a relationship it is.
Definitely.
And I try to tell him this, and he like chuckled. He's like, dude, it's not that big a deal. I'm like, no, it really is. You take somebody back to meet family, especially really close family like that, it's a big move. I think we're one step closer.
Yeah, man. I mean, absolutely. Like, if I'm hanging out with a girl and I don't think things are seriously going to progress, I don't even waste my time or my friend's time letting her get to know my friends. So if it's the family, it's legit.
Yeah. And I have to fully admit, I am one pushing for the whole wedding thing, and that's in part because we have bets going on in the office.
Let him do what he's got to do, man. Push for it.
Oh, no, it's going to happen more on my timeline. But the one thing I have been anti with him on that everybody else is telling him to do, the kid thing. I keep telling him, just live the life, man. Just be the guy fully committed on not having kids.
Oh, I think you were just saying you're pressuring him to have children.
No, everybody else does, though.
No, dude.
Yeah.
I'm very far from children.
Yeah, you might be like 10 years from children.
Oh, I don't know, 10.
Why not?
Say 7.
This pressure of like having kids by a certain age is dumb to me.
Well, it's harder for women to have kids as they get older.
Sure.
So there's that to factor in.
But
you're saying I should seek a younger wife.
No, I'm just simply saying the whole rush, like I have to have a kid by 28 or whatever that number is now. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have cutoffs.
I met a girl once that had that. She was like sad and she was talking about relationships and she's like, well, I'm 28 and I don't have a kid. And I'm like, so?
Yeah.
Quick things change. You date somebody for 2 years, you're getting married. Suddenly you're 31, you're having a kid. That's not a big deal. I would actually advise for that.
Yeah, I don't like anybody who plans anything too much.
Exactly.
If you're coming at me with a list of times of that when we're going to start getting married, having kids, too much. Deal breaker.
It is way too much. All right, we got Crawford filling in for Swag. We got a good show today. A lot of NFL to get to. It was a good NFL weekend. We've got the win stuff, the Seahawks. We've got the Texans, the NFL whip around. What the hell is going on with Marcus Mariota? Anybody paying attention to Mariota and what he's done this year? It's not been pretty. Not been pretty at all. We've got the big Stanton trade that happened over the weekend. We'll get to that. We'll talk a little Blazers. They start a road trip today as they begin it. And Golden State against the Warriors are going to be without Steph Curry. Got some Pac-12 news and notes to discuss. Mike Mitchell audio that we didn't get to last week that I still think is relevant for this. We got a good show today. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. And we'll start here. Coming up next, who is going to win the NFC this year? Should Philly still be the favorite now with the Wentz injury? We'll get into that next. You got Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Radio, 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
12:18 on The Fan. Welcome back in. Brandon Sprague with you on this Monday afternoon. You know, unfortunately, Carson Wentz had to go down yesterday. We had a hell of a game between two really good teams, the Rams and the Eagles in Los Angeles. And it was a back and forth. It was high scoring, really good defensive plays were made. And then you had Carson Wentz run it into the end zone. He gets sandwiched between two defenders and he ends up suffering an injury. And he stays in, throws a touchdown pass to Alshon Jeffrey. He eventually leaves to the locker room, doesn't return. The Rams respond, and then Nick Foles comes in, and they end up beating the LA Rams yesterday with Nick Foles at the helm for, what was it? Was it the whole fourth quarter or was it more than half of the fourth quarter?
I think it was full fourth.
Full fourth quarter with Nick Foles. Well, the injury front was not good. There were rumblings and reports going on. And then here's Doug Peterson today confirming the worst scenario.
Torn ACL. Torn ACL, it appears, yes.
Is it just the ACL or is there other
The report I got this morning was just ACL, yeah.
Yeah, so Carson Wentz, torn ACL, out for the rest of the year. A lot of people were speculating that's what it was. At least that was the fear of the Eagles and Carson Wentz, and it turned out to be true. And this sucks. We now have lost the league rookie of the year. Deshaun Watson was going to easily win it, by the way. And now we've lost the person that I think was going to be the league MVP in Carson Wentz, a team that clinched their division with that win. They're now the number one seed in the NFC because the Vikings lost at Carolina. And just from a, look, I get a sick pleasure out of some fan bases. The Philly fan base is one that it amuses me when stuff like this happens. The irony of winning a division and feeling like you're going to win the Super Bowl mixed in with the thought and reality that you lost your quarterback for the rest of the year. You can bet the house that Philly fan today, like the diehard passionate ones, they're losing their minds and they're emotional and they're going crazy. There's a sick pleasure that I get out of that on my end. But in reality, as a football fan, I hate this. I hate it because I loved watching Carson Wentz play this year. And it's just another quarterback. The laundry list of names that we've seen be knocked out with injury this year is just way too long. And Carson Wentz, another reason he's going to win the MVP, aside from team success, I mean, if you don't follow the numbers, I'll just give you it right here. Everything he did from year one to year two, passing yards would have been up. He's doubled his touchdowns, and he still has three games to go. Interceptions have been cut in half, fumbles cut in half, passer rating up, QBR up, yards per pass attempt up. Better, 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 better. That's what Carson Wentz 2017 has been. And this team is damn good. And you got to wonder now how this plays out with the NFC playoff picture. You know, who is now considered the favorite for people? Is it one of your top three? Is it the Wentz? Is it going to be, the Wentz wagon. Is it now Nick Foles and the Eagles? Is it Case Keenum and the Vikings who just lost? Do you go Drew Brees? Or maybe you go experience Matt Ryan and the Falcons being there last year, and then Cam Newton and the Panthers who looked good against the Vikings who got to a Super Bowl just a couple years ago. I think there's a couple different scenarios you could play out here, but you just wonder, how is this going to stack up in the NFC? I'll tell you right now, as much as I hate that injury to him, the NFC playoff picture, it is going to be absolute can't-miss television. Because aside from the playoff teams I mentioned, you've also got the Lions, you've got the Packers, you've got the Cowboys as three teams looming as 7-6. Aaron Rodgers might be coming back. You got the Lions going on the road and getting a win. I don't know if you trust them. And then Ezekiel Elliott with the Dallas Cowboys. He's set to make his return on Christmas Eve. And then, oh, by the way, the Seahawks, who we'll talk about here in a few minutes, they're sitting there at 8-5, right on the outside looking in behind the Falcons. So I'm telling you, this NFC playoff picture, at least with Wentz, it may not have been a done deal, absolutely, but it felt like you have a clear favorite. And I'm not saying the Eagles shouldn't be considered a favorite. I think Nick Foles can get by. I think with Nick Foles, I'm not going to be one to dismiss and say you can't go to a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. And the reason I say that is, what if the defense plays substantially better than they played yesterday? You know, if you have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, people are now coming to your house. And we've seen Foles in the past with Chip Kelly, what he's able to do. Maybe with Doug Peterson, he gets into play on a somewhat similar level. So you can't completely dismiss Philly, but God, the NFC playoff picture, I don't know about you, Crawford. I don't even know how you sort it out. Like, who's the favorite? You're looking at a laundry list of teams.
I mean, yeah, I still think the NFC playoffs are going to be must-watch football because of how close all these teams are. The Rams easily could have won that game. I thought they were going to at times. I still think that they're a really strong team. I think the Vikings are still really good, even though the Saints, like, all those teams are still really good. Nick Foles is a really good backup. For me, it just more sucks to add another name to the list of NFL injuries this year. And I think, you know, people want to talk why ratings are down and maybe why the NFL's been less watched this year. Or even for me personally, I've watched more college football than NFL this season. And I think number one is just the length of games and the ads and the penalties and the timeout, you know, all that. The stoppage of game is number one for me. And then number two is the star power that's just disappeared. From Ezekiel Elliott missing a bunch of games, Odell Beckham getting hurt, Aaron Rodgers, like, we could spend a whole segment just listing the guys that got hurt. That's number two for me, so it just sucks to see another young star who I was really stoked on watching develop and to see his lead his team to the playoffs, to see him not there just bums me out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too, of just the quarterbacks that have, like, Adam Schefter tweeted out the list of quarterbacks.
Oh, that's insane.
It's too long, and that's the unfortunate part now. And that hit, man, that hit he took, you knew when he ran and he was going to dive, there was a chance like a shot like that was going to happen. And you saw him get up. And I know video's gone around on social media now, but when he got up, I was like, okay, he's going to be all right. It's probably going to hurt, obviously, the next day.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize I was going to be.
But torn ACL, yeah. You're just like, damn it, man. And then here's the other thing, too, is the Packers somehow come from behind against the Cleveland Browns, the most Brownsy win of all time or loss of all time.
Yeah.
And Brett Hundley now is 3-2, and some people are thinking Aaron Rodgers coming back their next game. What about the Packers? Yeah, I don't even think the Packers, if the Packers were to win the Super Bowl this year, this is why the NFL is great and also why I tell people to calm down sometimes. I don't think the NFL every single year gives us the best team as the champion. I think you have very fluky runs. You have weird, unexplained teams make it. And I'm not saying Green Bay would be unexplainable. Anytime you have a quarterback like Rodgers, like that, it does the writing for itself. But if Green Bay were to somehow sneak into this thing with Aaron Rodgers and make this run and get in, God, it would leave me just scratching my head saying, is that really Green Bay? They're really one of the best? I've seen them play a lot, especially with Brett Hundley. I don't think you walk away going, yeah, that's one of the best two or three teams. But with Aaron Rodgers, it just changes everything. So the AFC seems pretty cut and dry. Maybe Baltimore can sneak up on somebody. They played Pittsburgh really well last night, blew that lead with 3 minutes to go. But I think you look at the NFC, the AFC's kind of written itself. The NFC is just wide open. And we'll get to the Seahawks here in just a minute, but I'd even say like a team like Seattle with Russell Wilson at the helm. He threw for, what, 140-plus yards?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
And two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Was it three touchdowns? It's unbelievable. He had three picks. Some bad plays for sure. But given all the injuries they dealt with, they lost Wagner and Wright yesterday. Didn't matter. They almost came back and won that game. So the NFC playoff picture, it sucks to lose Carson Wentz, but I will say this. It just adds more chaos and uncertainty of who you think is going to make it.
Well, what is your answer to your Dirt and Sprague poll question? Who's your favorite in the NFC?
You know what? I'm going to go favorite.
By the way,
of the four listed, because you can only list four.
Let me just say, I don't think any answer here would say, I don't think any answer of any potential playoff team would be ridiculous or weird sounding.
I don't either. But if I was to answer it, I would probably lean Saints. And again, I think this is a lot closer than just a, like, I could say Saints and a listener could be listening and could be a Viking fan or an Eagle fan. Like, you're an idiot. I think this is the slimmest of margins if you're picking a who's the favorite in the NFC right now. Because, again, this could be a year. This is crazy. You would have never believed me if I told you this in August, that we could be looking at the end of the NFL season, Case Keenum, Jared Goff, or Nick Foles in a Super Bowl. You would have laughed at me.
Three Rams quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Three former Jeff Fisher proteges.
Touche. That would be pretty ironic. You would have laughed at me if I threw that out there.
No, I know.
But that's the setup that we have right now. So it sucks. Football fan in me, I hate losing Carson Wentz because I love watching him play. But it just continues to create even more uncertainty and questioning within the NFC of who is the best team. Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. We'll read a few thoughts on that. But also coming up next, this team is getting criticism for being who they've always been. And I don't understand it. I'll tell you who it is next. But first, Crawford with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
I was going back and forth yesterday with the Rams-Eagles game and the Seahawks game against Jacksonville. And I was kind of just glued to both for long stretches there. You know, look, we're somewhat local with Seattle. We have them here on the station. I want to watch, see what's going on with Seattle. I think they're an interesting team to watch, and they have been for a few years now. So I'm going back and forth between those two. And the Jags almost cough up this big lead, right? They were up. Russell Wilson is amazing in the fourth quarter. He's lights out. But the Jags end up securing the win. They get a 3rd-and-11 run by Leonard Fournette. He gets the first down. That basically locks it up. Well, they get into victory formation, and Sheldon Richardson and Michael Bennett get involved with a dive attempt to cause a fumble. Fights end up happening between both teams. Real kind of just playoff vibe between those two. Even like at the start of the game, during the game, and at the end, it just kind of felt like the Jaguars are this young, up-and-coming bunch trying to prove that they are the next team, while the Seahawks, still mixed with the guys healthy enough to play, are sitting there telling you, we're still here. Russell Wilson's still our quarterback. We're not going anywhere. And so you just kind of got that from the onset of the game. Well, then Richardson's ejected, and then Quentin Jefferson ends up getting tossed. And then there was a whole thing where Jefferson was heading to the locker room. Some fans said some things. They eventually threw some things. And then Jefferson was then thrown trying to climb the wall to fight the fans. He had to be held back by security. It didn't end up happening. A lot of pointing of fingers. Well, here's Pete Carroll. This is Pete Carroll at the post game about the end of that, the end of the game and the back and forth, and then Jefferson's involvement with a fan.
I don't know. I don't even know what happened to relate to that thought. But I've seen every one of our guys, and he just kind of lost it. Somebody poured a beer on his head walking out of the stadium, you know. So I told him that's pro football. They pay to get in. They can do whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah. So there's Pete Carroll. It's like he's saying, you know, fans want to pay, fine, go do what you want. And I found this sort of comical, you know. And this is just a social media snapshot. But I'm watching this game, and look, if you're watching this with me, and you whisper next to me, hey, Seahawks lose this game, there's probably going to be a fight between these two teams. I would look at you and go, and is that supposed to surprise me? Like, this is who the Seahawks are. This is who they have been. You have to remember, this is a team made up of Doug Baldwin, Richard Sherman's, Michael Bennett's, Russell Wilson's, Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, a group of high-end talent that doesn't feel like they've ever gotten the respect they deserve or feels like they need to earn the respect that they never received. That's who this group has been in the midst of the Super Bowl runs, in midst of the playoff defeats, and in the midst of a playoff chase. This is who they are. And we're supposed to be surprised by this? We're supposed to feel that, oh, this team, they've crossed the line. This is who they've been. Win or lose, there's a lot of people, I think, you either like the Seahawks or you don't. And win or lose, you walk away hating them or you love them. And I know, Sprague, it's embarrassing. Jefferson climbing a wall and Bennett diving at legs and Richardson getting ejected. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry. This is who they have been. You can point to other losses where they've been emotional or they've had outbursts and they've had to been broken up. And you can point to wins. Like this. You remember this one from Richard Sherman a few years ago?
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
Yeah, it's just, you can't listen to that. That, by the way, was in 2013. That was the year they won it. You can't listen to that and then a couple years down the road just act like you're surprised. But this is who they are. And I know Sherman's not out there. I know Wagner left and Wright left and Chancellor. I get that. But until certain members of this team are no longer on the roster, and I think that time is coming pretty soon, until they evolve into being what Russell Wilson is, or even on Earl Thomas, right? Earl Thomas is aggressive. He's flying on the field, but he's relatively quiet for the most part compared to some other members of this team. Until it evolves to that point, this is who the Seahawks are. There's not a surprise here. Like, come on. I don't care if these players are new to the team and weren't there at the beginning. Like, who cares? When you become a Seattle Seahawk, this is what it is. You're angry, you play with a chip, and sometimes you win, and when you lose, you're kind of, you're bitter. You're a little bit of a sore loser. But you know what? I'm okay with that because it's what helps them thrive in being who they are.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with it too, Brandon. I mean, I've got no problem with it. I sometimes wish whatever, I'm a fan of a lot of teams across a lot of sports, right? And I always want my team to compete with the most passion when I don't see it, or when, like, for example, as an Oregon State fan at times this season, you watch the Beavers collapse in the second half, right, and get killed. I'm like, where's, you know, you want a guy to talk trash. You want a guy to start fights. Like, that is the reason the Seahawks have been so relevant. I mean, one of the reasons why, but I love teams that compete like that. I love that Richard Sherman ran. I never had a problem with it from 2013 until now, because that's what football is. So I got no problem with that. And if Quentin Jefferson wants to climb in the stands and beat that fan, I don't have a problem with that either. I really don't. Like, if that's what happens, obviously there'll be legal ramifications, but if you, it's not cool for the fan to throw that, it's probably not cool for Quentin Jefferson to climb in the stands and start a fight. But if you get something thrown at you in that heated moment, like, that's what happens sometimes.
Well, and I would say this too, like, the Jefferson thing, it's amazing to me that, well, it's, I guess it's not too amazing, just how dumb people are. Like, how do you see any highlights of the fight at the Palace of Auburn Hills and still think as a fan that it's cool to do that, right? Like, throwing something at an individual. Now, look, Jefferson, when you get ejected, just go to the locker room. But when you're throwing things, I think you're already at a boiling point of anger and frustration, and you add somebody throwing something at you and you just don't know how people are going to be set off. Again, the Jefferson thing, yeah, I mean, is he perfect in how he handled it? No. Just go to the locker room. But this is more about the fans. Like, these dirtbag fans that think they're entitled to do whatever they want and say whatever they want. You know, I've been at college games, man, and just even at the college level, with kids who are not being paid millions of dollars, by the way, you would be appalled of what you hear fans say to the kids. I've stood 8 feet from it and just looked at fans like, that kid is 20 years old, and because he's playing against your favorite team, you think it's cool to say that? You take it to an NFL level, they're throwing trash bags, they're throwing drinks, they're throwing food. Don't be an idiotic moron. Don't be that fan. It's totally on the fan base.
Oh, yeah.
The fighting stuff is my, you know, my overall feelings on that. And, like, people just, oh, here come the Seahawks. Look, this is embarrassing. This is a disgrace. This is who they are.
I want my team to play like that, personally. And I think a lot of people who say, oh, I hate the Seahawks, are fans of a team that doesn't play that way.
Good. Hate the Seahawks. It's better for you to have a team you hate. You need some hate in your life as a sports fan. We all do. And
yeah, we need villains for sure.
I said this about Draymond for a long time. I'm going to maintain this opinion. If Draymond's on your team, you love it. If this is your team, you love it. You're embarrassed by it. Oh, I'm ashamed. Sprague, they've reached a level. I'm ashamed. Michael Bennett, get out of here. You can't like the Richard Sherman rant and then suddenly be embarrassed or ashamed of your team because of yesterday's game.
That's why when Matt Barnes was on the Clippers, he was my favorite player.
There you go.
And when he wasn't before, I hated him. And I wish the Clippers had a Draymond Green. I wish the Blazers had Draymond Green. I love to hate Draymond Green.
It's good.
It's good to hate. I hate him.
As something I'll point out later,
I want him on my team.
There's something else we're going to hate together again, and I can't wait. And it's better for us to have it. And I'll tell you what that is a little later on in the show, but the reaction to the Seahawks thing was comical, man. Act like we don't know the Seahawks. This is who they are. For good and bad. You win games that way, and when you lose games, you look like a sore loser. That's just who the Seahawks are. They're wired that way. But God, I don't know what we do about fans, man. Like, I hope those people got dealt with.
Your fans are idiots.
Like, those people shouldn't be allowed to be going to games anymore. I think it should get that extreme. Why are you throwing things at people? You won the game, too. Like, your team won. Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, drunk behavior. in the, you know, throwing, you know what I mean? Like that drunk fan, I'm assuming he was hammered. Throwing that doesn't surprise me, but it sucks, but it doesn't. Stupid fan behavior doesn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just ridiculous, man. I'll read a few thoughts on this, how people feel about the Seahawks at the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305, and then just where they're at right now in that NFC playoff picture. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
We got our NFL whip around coming up. We got some Ducks coaching news to announce. Something just came across the wire. We'll pass that along.
Sizzler.
We were talking about the Seattle Seahawks because the way their game ended, it was just predictable to me. Like, if you tell me that's how the Seahawks end up losing a game and that's how they respond, I'm not really surprised. I really am. I'm not. Like, that's how they've been during this run. And, you know, a lot of people texting in, Michael Bennett's a dirty player. That is a play that I specifically, I would sit there and say the same thing. Like, a lot of people are saying, like, dirty play, unnecessary. It feels unnecessary. But then you have people like Olin Krutz, offensive lineman himself, who tweets that he sees the play and he doesn't view it as dirty. Like, when a former offensive lineman or a current offensive lineman says that's not dirty, and maybe you don't even have, like, universal thought there. Maybe it's differing. You know, Sukannik could say that play's incredibly dirty. Olin Krutz says it's not. That could very well exist. But when, like, an offensive lineman says that, doesn't it kind of lead you to pause and go, oh, well, I mean, he played there.
Well, that was Cam's take this morning on Dusty and Cam was, that's football. That's what you do. That's the kind of play you want to make at the end of the game if you're trying to win.
You're in desperate mode. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a win at all cost mentality, which apparently some people on the text line or some fans out there have maybe a holier than thou mentality where they're like, well, I don't want my team to do that. But I certainly do. I want my team to win at all costs. I don't mind dirty players, man. Even whether or not that was a dirty play, I don't mind it because I want my team to win. Isn't that what football and sports is all about? At least at the professional level, like, this isn't eighth grade or high school with, I don't, you know, sportsmanship, I don't care about it as much at the pro level.
Yeah. Seahawk fan texting in the Bridgeport Beers text line. The emotional culture of the Seahawks has brought a lot of good on and off the field. And yesterday was the downside that comes along with the good. That said, I'm getting pretty tired of Bennett and Sherman. As good as they are, it's frustrating how often their discontent becomes the story. And I wonder when the bad will outweigh the good. That's from Nick. And look, they both might be gone after this year. There's kind of a feel with just reading the tea leaves from people like Condotta that there may be some new players in place there at certain positions. But I see what he's saying. Like, it's a good and bad. Like, you have moments where you're like, you kind of just, you hit the top of your forehead and you're just like, ah, come on. And then you have times where that emotion works for them and they win a big game and you're sitting there celebrating. Somebody else says racists call Seahawks names on Yahoo like they'd be so calm if someone threw a beer and nachos on their white ass at work. That's a thought at the Bridgeport Beers text line. Let's see. Have you seen YouTube clips of people throwing drinks at Roger Daltrey, at Angus Young during shows? They get supported as victims. People don't blame them for being mad. Another one, if you're going to sell booze in the stadium, what do you expect? Was in Seattle as a Packers fan. As a Packers fan for their, I can't read that. It broke up. Those fans are obnoxious because they think with their 12, they're part of the team. One thing in common is that alcohol is the commonality there. Somebody else, speaking of Jacksonville fans, any mention of the bottle thrown at Lockett after his touchdown hit him in that? Yeah, I did. I saw that. That was late in the game. Busted coverage, crucial touchdown. And somebody threw at the back of Tyler Lockett there. Yeah, I think Jacksonville fans, you walk away from that whole game and scenario, and Jacksonville fan is looking like the bigger jackass.
Think they, yeah. You know the saying, act like you've been there?
Well, I don't think they have been
there. No, they haven't.
When was the last time they were there? They went to the AFC title game, and what was that, 97?
Was that with Mark Brunell?
Yeah.
Then they were pretty good with Maurice Jones-Drew and Fred Taylor.
Yeah, what was the quarterback's name? Was it Leftwich?
Oh, Byron Leftwich. Yeah.
And then who was the guy behind him?
David Garrard.
David Garrard, yeah. He had shingles.
No, he had Crohn's disease.
Crohn's disease, that's what it was.
Bad stomach problems, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was the last time they were relevant. And they have a cabana in their stadium, so I could see how they might get too drunk and not know what to do.
Yeah.
Not that that's, I'm not saying that's an excuse. I'm just saying that doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, man. I think in instances like this, we've seen it done. And so when it happens again, I become less and less shocked by it. And plus it's a fiery game. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars trying to prove themselves against a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. And by the way, Seahawks 8-5 now. They're right behind the Atlanta Falcons for that last wild card spot. Their schedule coming up, they get the Rams this weekend, which I can't wait for that game. That's going to be
Seahawks
a big
Rams?
One. Yeah.
We were at the first iteration of that game.
And if Cooper Kupp doesn't drop a pass that I think he catches 9 out of 10 times, you're kind of looking at this like, all right, maybe the Rams can get the season sweep here. So you get the Rams coming to Seattle this weekend.
That's going to be I'm very excited for that game as well.
All right, if this thing would load, what's going
Tickets
on?
Tickets are expensive. I looked because I wanted to maybe try to ram it.
Tickets are always expensive to Seahawks.
Yeah, I didn't realize how expensive. So I'm not going.
So you get the Rams and then the Cowboys. So you got Ezekiel Elliott's actually going to be back for that one. And then you'll finish your year versus the Cardinals. If you can somehow muster up 3 straight wins there and you're looking at 11-5, you're in. But it's just a matter of, can you stave off disappointment? And what I mean by that is, I think, should you be the favorite against the Rams at home? Yes. Should you be the favorite against the Cowboys? Probably not because of Zeke, but I think you're a lot closer with them, if not better. And then the Cardinals coming to Seattle to end the year on New Year's Eve, you'll absolutely be a big favorite in that matchup. So they have an opportunity here, man. Do you think they're playoff bound?
The Seahawks?
Yeah.
No.
It feels like at worst they're 10-6.
Yeah.
Unless they lose to the Rams and then go to Dallas.
It changes for me.
Yeah.
If you asked me before this game, I would have said yes. And then you see them lose like that and you see Russell Wilson show some. Russell Wilson has been perfect for them all season, which is why they are where they are. And then once he has a bad game, they can't win. So I guess it's all on the arm and legs of Russell Wilson. Right?
Well, I mean, I'll say even without Wagner and Wright yesterday, who left with injury, even without him, and then you add the Chancellor Sherman injuries, still having Russell Wilson is the difference. If he's out there, you have a fighting chance. But you have a 3-interception game like that, and you turn the ball over, it's going to be tougher and tougher. By the way, I wonder if Seahawks fan Mike Davis has been running well. Did Alex Collins make you wish that they wouldn't have cut him? God, he has looked good for Baltimore the last couple of weeks.
Are you asking me?
Nah, I'm just throwing out a Seahawks fan.
I just mean the Seahawks running game is terrible. I think it's like probably historically bad.
Yeah, P1 Raymond, 3 straight wins and probably the division title, absolutely. But we'll see if they can do it. Rams this weekend, big game, and then you're at Dallas before you finish with the Cardinals. One more thought at the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. Can't defend loser players and condemn loser fans. Both are effing morons and losers. It's not even a defending of the players. It's more of just pointing out this is who they are. You know, if I'm a Seahawks fan and somebody's saying that, oh, you're a Seahawks fan, I'm not a Seahawks fan. I'm actually not in the least. Just simply watching this team in this run that they've had since they won a Super Bowl, been to a Super Bowl, and chased the playoffs, it's who they've been. And some years it's been great for them, and other years it's bit them. There's a way into which of conducting yourself as a professional, and sometimes the Seahawks don't do it. So my point is not to defend the players. It's to simply point out this is who they are and who they have been, good and bad. We got a loaded second hour, a lot to get to. I still didn't talk about Tom Savage yet. We'll discuss that. We'll get to the Stanton trade as he's moved from Miami to New York. We'll talk a little Blazers, but we'll kick off hour two with our NFL whip around. Go around the National Football League to some other games that we haven't addressed. We'll do that next. Dirt and Sprague with you on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.